This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome to number two on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our clubhouse studios, and we're broadcasting live on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. And he's still hanging out with me. I don't know why he stuck around, but my wingman on the tee, Florida, for months and months and months. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary, by the way. And he is Oscar Garner III, the Big O, Sparty, the Michigan State graduate. And congratulations on moving up in the world. You've actually moved. You're kicking butt with your career. And I'm going to attribute it to rubbing elbows with the old man.
Absolutely. It was a springboard. I can't believe it's almost been a year, honestly, from when I was walking out. You saw me and we met. It's been...
When God hexed you and I,
right,
and I pulled you into the conversation.
I don't know what black cat walked in front of me or what ladder I walked underneath, but, you know... Luck has led me here, so it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to what we got going on in the future.
We got a lot going on, and today, of course, down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, we got 100 televisions strong each and every day, but college basketball action, Alex Reba, the Axeman, he just did a superb job of breaking down. It's SEC and Big 12. What do you think of that this time of year? I don't like that. I mean, we're going to get away from any tradition with what's taking place with the conference realignment. But what do you think of the having this conference? This, you know, it's almost February. March Madness is close.
Are you talking about the basketball?
Yeah, basketball. Right now, SEC's playing Big 12. And I think it's a little late in the season to be doing that. I usually do that early in the year.
I don't see what the problem is. I mean, if you think about what we got, SEC and Big 12, if you think about the tension that they have in football, those guys going back and forth over the lines.
I understand.
They're carrying that same energy into hoops, and it's kind of like a regional thing.
I love that. But they typically do it early in the year.
Yeah.
Now, traditionally,
you hone into your own conference,
exactly,
and do your own thing, and that's
game
understandable, because as we build up and go to March Madness, it's kind of how we measure and stack teams. I think,
but everything's changing now with all this conference realignment. Anyway,
I think if you consider the big picture of what's happening to college sports,
yeah,
I think to still have that level of tradition, regardless of what time of the year it happens, and we still have conferences going head to head. I'll take it where I can get it, because I don't know how long we're going to have that before the Big 12 becomes the SEC or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Hey, in this hour, we're going to be talking to Jim Hart. I mentioned a little bit about it in the first hour. We're going to be talking high school soccer and the Champions League that he has designed with a high school format. Very interesting conversation. We just lost our soccer man in Alex Reba. I didn't realize he was such a soccer player. That was the sport of choice for him in high school as well.
Yeah, he's more of a national guy, though.
I'm just saying he could converse a lot more about the sport. And he was on. You weren't here. You were hiding out in one of your world travels. He was down here for the World Cup.
Yeah. We were texting back and forth about that, and I was happy that he still made it on the show. It was interesting to get the World Cup. Made me realize that I'm more of a patriot when it comes to sports than I am.
Red, white, blue, baby.
But as soon as you put the USA on the screen, my dad was actually here that weekend.
I met him.
Yeah, we talked, and that was fun. But I'm glad he was still able to contribute to the show during that time. Actually, my first sport I ever played before hoops, before baseball, before any of that stuff, my parents put shin guards on me and gave me some cleats and made me play soccer. I think I was like 6 years old.
I did it to both my boys. You know why? For the footwork. I knew they were going to play basketball. They'd be hoopsters, a little football, a little this, a little that. But that's why I did it. Hey, ASI Printing and Rick Herbert, I want to do a shout-out to him because he did a superb job. We've got some new logos coming out. And he's the official printer of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Radio St. Pete. And you can get a hold of Rick at 727-542-3897. Great cat. You need to do business with him. I would tell you, he's so low-key, humble, but he does business worldwide. Some of his clients, Kiss, Madonna. He does stuff for the Lightning Bolts. I mean, for the Bolts. He does stuff for the PGA. He did the World Series down there. AceHighPrinting.com, serving Tampa Bay and the world for 18 years. And he said right now he's doing so much business worldwide. You've seen my cards, the plastic cards, the kind I didn't get you. And
for a year.
Not quite a year. That's going to be the one-year anniversary. I've got a Bruce Eichner and I are a former Alliance. He's listening right now. He's a Michigan cat. I think he's a Michigan State guy, too. And
Green, baby.
I'll introduce you to him. And he's going to join the team. Got his cards coming. He was going to go make us some money.
We need some revenue after a year. So.
Yes, we do. And we're rocking and rolling.
Year thing this entire show now.
What?
I'm riding the year anniversary. Everything that we haven't done within a year, I'm letting you know about it.
So you're gonna do the 1 year analysis?
Of course.
Please don't do it on the air.
I'm gonna do sabermetrics for our 1 year.
Take your financial analyst mind and save that for when I'm buying you cocktails and you feel sorry for me.
All right, we'll do.
All right. So I want to thank Ace High, and of course, I want to thank our good friends at Body Armor. We're gonna talk to Jim Hart, and then at 1:30, we're gonna have in the house Just Joe. Remember Geiger?
Yeah.
Our Cracker Jack intern, who's done a superb job.
He's been doing his thing, man.
With the Facebook piece.
He's been holding it down, and it's been an upgrade from what I was doing, that's for sure. So he's solid. I'm glad we can get him plugged in.
I still appreciated what you were doing. However, the reality is he's done a superb job when he synchronizes the graphics with the two-minute audio, and that thing is blowing up on Facebook. This month alone, as we wind the month down, we've had 150,000 views, and then about three quarters of those have actually engaged. That's pretty sweet for a 2 months old since he launched that. I'm very impressed.
No, he's solid. That's great.
So, you going over to Gasparilla?
Oh no! I don't do crowds like that. I'll turn on the news coverage and see some stuff from home.
You'll see them throwing Alex in the back of one of the
wagons. Yeah,
I certainly hope not.
Hope he takes his Penn State gear off so we can't Photoshop him into anything.
So what do you think of your Spartans at this point of the season as we're looking at college basketball and we're efforting Jim Hart right now?
I think the one thing holding us back right now, first off, let me start with the positive perspective.
That's what positive perspective.
Tom Izzo is one of the longest standing coaches in college basketball, and it shows in his leadership in the way that we can finish games like the Hawkeye game. Even though we were letting it slip, we still found a way to hold the line and still win the game. And that's happened a lot of times over the 14 wins that we've had this season so far. But across those, I think we have 7 losses at this point. Across those losses, we've had health issues. Malik Hall, if he's not able to come in and support the starting lineup or lead the second unit, that's a game we're going to lose. Sissoka, if he gets into foul trouble and he gets off the floor early in the first half, those are usually games that we lose. So a lot of things have to go right for this team to win. I think they're going to be... We're definitely going to go to the tournament. I like us in the round of 64 and make a stretch to those Sweet 16. But anything past that, it'll be tough. We'll have to get some pretty favorable matchups, and we'll have to have our health clicking. When Malik Hall was out, it wasn't great. And Joey Hauser has been somebody who has been hot and cold since he's put on the green and white. But he's been having some double doubles this season, and those are games that we definitely win when he does put up those numbers. So, like I said, it's things have to go right. Joey has to play well. Tom Izzo has to have has the team clicking, stay out of foul trouble, control the ball, because we're a good free throw shooting team. We're not going to lose at the line, but we have to, you know, we have to earn it. So no easy games, especially not in the Big Ten, especially not in the tournament.
All right. So that was brought to you by the State of Michigan Chamber of Commerce, as we're doing a that we're getting away from our Florida sports content, I guess, is if you will. You got anything on the local level?
You know, I haven't been keeping up with the Gators.
I know.
Or anybody else down here.
Golf? You've been keeping up with golf at all?
Can't say I have, sir.
Have you fallen in love, or is it work?
Work has picked up. I've moved to the northern end of town. I am.
You've left us down.
Gandhi. You know.
I know a topic that you could engage me with. What do you think about the mayor's proposal, which will be announced for the Tropicana redevelopment, taking place actually Monday, the 30th.
They're announcing it Monday?
The plan that he's going with. The plan for it's Ray's Hines, and that's the redevelopment plan that Ferg and most of the city council has endorsed. And I tell you what, you'd be very impressed. You'll want to move back downtown because it's got incredible retail. It's got a 2,500-seat amphitheater, and it'd be very impressive.
Well, If you go to the top of any building in St. Pete and you look around, all you're going to see is cranes in the sky. And I think the development in this area is going to be great for the city. I think it's good for the growth. As somebody who moved down here, and this is my first exposure to Florida living, St. Pete has been a great experience. So to see them committing to development.
Is that why you moved further towards Tampa?
I can't keep paying rent down here, man. I had a roommate to live down here. I was in 500 square feet of space. Now I have 750. I need a little bit more room. I'm a tall guy.
Well, I tell you what. We'll talk to a guy that knows a little bit about the area, and we will upgrade the show with his first of many conversations here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. It's our Prep Connection. It's brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. And he's Jim Hart. How are you, my man?
What's happening, Mike? I didn't know who you were talking about there for a second.
Well, I looked at your resume. I listened to Ferg, and I went back in the archives and saw what you did at Clearwater Catholic. You're soccer royalty coming on the air today, my friend.
Well, I was the guy standing on the sidelines. I didn't kick any balls in the goal or anything. Those players are amazing.
Well, why don't we do this? Because we're going to have you on often. Of course, we got a big event we'll talk about here on February 18th. But for our audience that aren't familiar with you, why don't we talk about your coaching career, where you grew up, how you got involved in soccer? I mean, you haven't quite caught Ferg and I from an age perspective. You're just a few days away from that. But my generation, we didn't even know what soccer was up in the Midwest, and you've been involved in it your entire life.
Well, most of my life. I'm from the Midwest also. I'm from the Chicago area. And growing up, I didn't know anything about soccer until, I don't know, maybe 16, something like that. But I moved down here to Florida. I moved down to St. Pete when I was 15, went to Lakewood High School where Ferg went. Actually, he and my brother were close friends there. They played baseball together. And we didn't have soccer then either. But then I went to school, to college, back up near your Iowa roots, at Quincy College in Quincy, Illinois, in 1974. And they had one of the most amazing programs in the country. Little Quincy College, 1,000 kids, but they were one of the top 20 programs in the country every year. And it was a small Catholic school, and their coach, Jack McKenzie, who's a legend, and he's in the National Hall of Fame now and all of this stuff. And he ran a program, a special program, that was based on hard work and values. And if you think of, like, college basketball, you think of some of the small schools that overachieve in the tournament, maybe like the Gonzaga type of a team. That's kind of how Jack ran his soccer program. And I was really drawn hard to that, and became a big fan. And for some reason, this coach, who didn't really, I wasn't one of his players, he didn't really know me, but he took me under his wing up there at Quincy and kind of started mentoring me. And long story short, I started coaching at St. Pete Catholic, where I did my teaching internship. In 1979, I started there. And from there, it went to Dixie Hollins. And from there, I went to Eckerd for 3 years. I thought I was going to be on a college track, but then I ended up at Clearwater Central Catholic in 1987. Stayed there for 25 years, moved on to Carrollwood Day School for 6 years, and then started Tampa Bay Top 10 after that.
Yeah, when you were at Eckerd, was Tom Ryan playing there then? Tom's a big supporter of Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We have a segment called Triton Time each week as well.
I listened to Triton Time yesterday, your last segment with the softball players. That was awesome.
Those girls were a hoot, weren't they?
They were fantastic, and you were great with them. It was really very listenable. You're welcome. I was there from 85 to 87. So I was there for 3 seasons. Jim DeNoble was the head coach. I started working at Eckerd Soccer Camp in 1980 under Tim Carter, who was the coach before Jim. Jim took over in 82, asked me to join him in 85. Jim stayed until 2001, but I was there for 3 years with him. And in fact, the reason I went to CCC is that we played CCC in a spring practice game, and they beat us. The high school team came and beat the Eckerd team 5-4.
Oh, my gosh.
They were in the process of changing coaches, and there were two parents sort of guiding that process, and they asked me would I be interested in coming back to high school, which I thought, wow, if I'm going to be able to coach a team that can beat our college team, yes, that is interesting to me. So that's how that all happened.
And then of course you basically built a dynasty, if you want to call it that.
Well, I will say I maintained a dynasty. I didn't build it. It was already there when I got there. They had already won 3 state championships. Funny enough, when I came out of college, I applied for a job at CCC in 1980. Which would have included the head coaching job, but I didn't get it. Someone else got it, and I didn't get back there until 1987. But they were a product of club soccer and great coaches and great determined players. Also, a great middle school Catholic feeder system. St. Cecilia's, St. Patrick's in Largo, Our Lady of Lourdes, and these schools always had great Catholic school grammar school teams. And they put, those players all went to CCC. And there was a great rivalry between CCC and St. Pete Catholic. I actually started at St. Pete Catholic in 79-80. And I was there for 2 years. And our biggest rival was CCC. And we went back and forth. And, you know, we won some, they won some, we tied some. But they won the key games, the district games, and always knocked us out of the tournament. So, yeah, I didn't build it, but I tried to keep it going.
Hey, let's talk about the conversation that we had yesterday. Of course, that's the Champions League draw, and we're going to have it down here at Ferg's on Saturday, February 18th. Why don't you talk about? In fact, I've got the Boca Ciega soccer kids young men in front of me right now, and
talk
about this Champions League draw and how you got involved in that.
Yes. Well, if you're a soccer fan, you know what the Champions League is. But if you're not a soccer fan, it requires a little explanation. It's a tournament that takes place the following season for champions of the previous season. So as American sports fans, we're used to the NFL, right? But there's only one NFL. But what if there were 30 NFLs around the world? Every 30 different countries had a league just as good as our NFL. Right? Well, at the end of the season, at the end of the Super Bowl, the next question everybody would want to know the answer is, whose Super Bowl team is the best? You know, is it America's? Is it France's? Is it what, you know, whose is the best? So let's have a tournament for that. But we don't have those kind of tournaments because there's only one NFL. There's only one Major League Baseball or one NBA, you know? And so, but in soccer, that's not the case. There's tons of countries all have equally, you know, the good programs. So the Champions League is a soccer thing, but I think it would do really well with American sports. But anyway, in our high school tournament, we have the districts every year, right, leading to the regionals, leading to the Final Four. So the district champion provides the basis of a Champions League for the following season. So if you this invitation to every district champion, regardless of the size of school, they can accept that invitation, join the Champions League, and the following season they can play to see who's got the best program. It's pretty cool.
You know, very cool.
Yeah, it really is, and it's really caught fire. And, you know, a lot of times you'll have in high school soccer, as I know you know, and everybody listening knows, you always have that small school, big school dichotomy, who's got the better team, but you don't always find out who's got the better team because they're in different classifications. They don't play for the same state title. Maybe, luckily, they might go to the same invitational tournament, but that's kind of a hit-or-miss thing. But if every year the district champion from every classification is offered the opportunity the following season to defend that and in a league that actually yields the best team, it actually answers the question, who's got the best program? The one problem, of course, is one team might have, you know, a senior-heavy team that wins districts and then all those people graduate. So the following year, those seniors are freshmen in college and they wouldn't be there to help carry it on. So it's really a test of who's got the best program, you know, going on from year to year. In some cases, you have district champions that come into the Champions League and they got young guys, inexperienced guys, but that's part of it. But in many cases in soccer, and it's the case in all high school sports, you have good programs, right? A good coach keeps it going year in and year out and has, you know, support activities that make sure that the next group is always ready. And so as a result, the Champions League is a really, really a good measuring stick. Who's got the best program. We've had five Champions Leagues for the boys. Jesuit has won three. Eastlake was also a winner. And the other winner was Tampa Prep. So, and we've had one with the girls, and it was Palm Harbor. So the cool thing is some public schools have won, some private schools have won, but it's really competitive, and everybody loves it.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, our Body Armor Prep Connection conversation with Jim Hart. Of course, I want you to touch upon your Tampa Bay top 10, because I know we're gonna be stealing that for our two-minute sports update. Young Joe Geiger sitting across from me, he's been responsible for that. So we'll use that top 10 for our soccer standings. We try to do the girls and boys basketball each week, but now I threw in soccer there, knowing that you were going to be on and these guys were going to be on. So we'll use that. Explain that a little bit to us. That's basically a coach's poll, isn't it?
That's right. So five years ago, 6 years ago, you know, we were responding. And I know, Mike, you relate to this because you had the same motivation in getting involved yourself and promoting prep sports, is that with the decline in media coverage, then something has to fill the gap. And when media coverage declines, soccer is often one of the first to go. So we used to get great coverage in the 80s and 90s. So we just said, you know what? If we don't get coverage, we'll create our own coverage. And that's where this top 10 poll started. So we put up a Facebook page, and we invited every coach in the three-county area, Hillsboro, Pasco, and Pinellas, to vote simply on their opinion of who the best teams are. It's real easy. They don't have to even see all the teams. Of course, they can't see all the teams because they're busy coaching their own team. But we share information, we share results, scouting reports, et cetera. And then it's just an opinion is all. And the coaches are all free to give their opinion. And then we collate it and we figure out, you know, who the coaches think the best teams are. But the real point of it is to generate conversation and to sort of generate news where there wasn't any. And it's cool. People love it.
Well, you know, people do love seeing the rankings. Gives them, you know, fodder for conversation. But at the same time, I like the fact that you're getting the coaches involved, because then they have some emotional equity. They share the story that this does exist, and it sends traffic for one thing to you, which I do love that in today's world. Obviously, it's all about content, but it's content that probably has a lot of accuracy based on these coaches have their ear to the ground.
Yes, and we're lucky. We're real lucky so far. It's been a real poll of integrity. Like, there haven't been groups of people voting for each other or anything like that. People
have been, the ballot box, basically, you don't have that, right?
Haven't had that. And we don't expect to have that. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, high schools, there's some good ones, some bad ones, but they're generally in it for the right reason. They work for pennies on the hour, and they're just trying to do a good job for the kids, and they're trying to get it right. And so you can trust them, and the coaches come through. They come through with good, you know, proper voting, and then that of course led to the podcast. And we have coaches coming on the podcast all the time. Different coaches get a chance to hear their voice, just the way you're doing with your show, giving people a chance to talk, to be heard, and so it's just good. It's just a good promotion of a high school sport.
Well, we'll be loading your podcast onto our streaming channel, our sports channel that we're launching in February, The Stream. It's going to be your local sports connection, and we'll be loading that on as well. Let's go to the 18th of February before I let you go. Down here at Ferg's, of course, it's going to be your live draw. You're going to have Neil Collins, the Rowdies head coach, Perry Vanderbeck. I liked his story. First player drafted out of high school. Lucky Mikasana, the Rowdies 12th man. Martin Gramatica.
Well, we haven't asked Martin yet. This is the first he's hearing.
I'll ask him. I'll put some pressure on him.
Well, go ahead. Martin knows me and has.
I locked you there, my friend. Are you there, my friend? Well, I think we lost him. Why don't we take a break? We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We lost our conversation with Jim Hart, and we'll get back with him a little bit later on. But next, we're going to talk a little Boca Ciega soccer. We've got you look like you could still play. We got four of the young men here. We'll be back on the T Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Visit RadioSt.Pete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSt.Pete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSt.Pete.com is where local music lives.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we had a great conversation going on. We'll continue. We're going to have him on. I'm going to have him down here live next week in our Body Armor Prep Connection. Nice conversation with Jim Hart, and he's got a plethora of soccer information. We're going to do quite a few things together down here at Ferg's, and February 18th will be the date. And as I mentioned, you guys might want to come down, and you'll probably be practicing for how many of you play baseball? I've got the Boca Ciega soccer guys, fellas, and they just wound their season down. They get no time off. They go straight into baseball season. And I remember those days. You go from football to soccer, and then immediately you go from soccer to baseball. Keeps you busy, out of trouble. I can see the old man pointing at you. Yeah, doing the same thing. I miss those days watching my sons, and that's the positive thing that we try to talk about here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Each and every week, bringing you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros across Tampa Bay. And nothing gets more positive than talking to young men like this. Had a blast last week with the Triton women's softball team, and you've been coming down since I started this show. You're an old veteran, Joe.
Yeah, I've been on three times.
Three times. Talk nice and loud, because you're gonna end up being on the air. He's gonna be the guy reading the scores pretty soon. He's gonna become Mr. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. That's why you have to go to college in St. Pete. I'm begging you.
I'll try.
Try. We got to get them to sign you up over there. We got to get that to be a done deal. Anyway, thanks for bringing the guys down today. Let's talk about this season. Started in November.
Yeah, started in November. Just it's like a quick season. We're not allowed to like touch soccer balls until a certain date, so it's kind of hard to start and stop. But
so are there two seasons?
No. Well,
or it's a short window down here.
It's a short window. Plus, you have to deal with Thanksgiving break and Christmas break that goes right in the middle of it. So, it's kind of splits it in half or thirds.
Well, maybe that's why, like Jim was talking about, maybe there's a need for the champions because you guys don't get a whole lot of a time. It seems like.
No, we don't. And we can't practice a lot. There's a lot of games each week because I got to squeeze it all in. So it's definitely a lot different than like football and baseball. We have a lot more time.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me then on why somebody like Jim that's been involved in the sport wanted to make sure there was other opportunities for guys that want to play soccer all year long. And bravo to him, even more so now that I get it out of you guys' mouth. So who is the coach of Boca Ciega?
Our coach is named Brandon Kloss, but this was his last season as well.
Was it? How long had he been with you guys?
He coached the girls for 2 years and then us for three.
Okay. All right. He's moving on to another school, or he's just hanging up the coaching spikes?
He didn't really tell us. I think he's going to try and get into a college, coach college somewhere, he said.
Gotcha. All right. So why don't you introduce these guys, and we'll start left to right like I typically do, and then we'll share some memories of some of your favorite memories of soccer, and do a little shout out at home, and I'll humiliate you on the air like I usually do. So why don't you move that microphone, introduce me to that young man, and your name.
My name is JT Zulik. I've been on the show once before for talking about the baseball team.
I remember that, JT. Yeah. And you still decided to come down?
Of course, anything for Joey.
Oh, good. I was told I got to call him just Joe. I went with the Joey. I thought he was going to come across the table at me. So I've been and especially now he's got leverage on me. He's doing our 2 minute every day. So whatever he wants, he's gonna get. Anyway, is that right, Joey? Anyway, let's talk about what position did you play?
I played a lot of forward, and then I played a little defense, and I was also backup to Joe in the keeper position.
Gotcha. How old were you when you started playing soccer?
This was like my first year of soccer ever.
Is that right? Bravo, man.
I played a little bit last year, but only for like one game.
What'd you think of this sport? Because I'll be candid with you. As I told Jim, I was never involved in soccer in the Midwest. It didn't exist 100 years ago when I was participating in sport. But I made sure that my sons played it at a young age because I loved the athleticism of it, and I liked that it worked on your feet and your footwork. And do you think it'd benefit you in baseball at all?
Yeah, definitely. I think my lateral movement's going to be a lot better for for our games, working in third base and first base, you know. But I also, like, really enjoyed playing the sport, and I really wish that I played it earlier because I just had so much fun playing it.
Well, you were probably, my gosh, it was your first year. You a senior?
Yeah, I am.
So that was quite an experience for you. And what did Coach think about you? Did he ask you to come out, or did Joe convince you? What drove you your senior year to go out for a sport you've never played?
Last year, watching a game after one of the baseball workouts, and I just thought it would be fun to go out and help because team was looking a little thin. So I just walked up to Coach and was like, "Hey, you think I could come out to practice?" And so last year, I went to a few practices and a couple games, and I don't know, I really enjoyed it. So this year, I told myself I was going to dedicate myself to it and play it.
Did you have any success? Did you have fun?
Oh, I had a lot of fun. I don't think I had any success, but I definitely had a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? At least you gave it the old college try, as they say, or high school try. And I applaud you.
Thank you.
Do you have a memory, whether it was a good memory or unusual thing that happened this year? Did you get in very often?
Oh, yeah. I played in just about every game. My favorite memory was probably when I got put in for Joe against Gibbs, and Joey scored a goal and then ran down halfway down the field and met me at the middle and celebrated with me.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
You know, the only position that I think that I would have really enjoyed was what you're playing. You guys call it keeper? Yeah. Keeper.
Yeah, that position's fun, actually.
That I think I could really get into.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wish I got to play more, but this guy was stubborn about it and wouldn't let me.
Well, he's probably a little quicker than you.
Oh, he definitely is, but I definitely could have done a better job.
Well, you have a taller frame. See, your wingspan is wider too, so he's got to move over quicker.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so that's a great story. What did you think about him going out for soccer?
Oh, I'm glad he did. He had a sister who played 4 years over at St. Pete Catholic, and I love watching it. I wish he would have played earlier too. So I'm involved with baseball and everything that we just never got him into it.
Well, I think that's fabulous. I will say one thing about it. My respect for soccer. I'm a big proponent that kids should participate in track if they're going to be in football and even basketball. And it's hard to do down here, and it's hard to do anymore because the other sports overlap. But soccer, the shape you got to be in.
Oh, it's crazy. I was winded.
You gassed?
First few games, yeah, definitely took a lot out of me.
All right. Well, bravo, man. I don't think I'm going to hear that story. Somebody a senior year decides he wants to go out for track. We did have a kid at St. Pete High that went out for the basketball team. He was a football player, and he actually he's getting a lot of minutes for Coach Chris Blackwell over there. Do you want to do a shout-out at home?
Just to my mom.
No, better not say just mom. What's mom's name?
Wendy Zulik, she's everything to me.
Well, he's a fine young man. I know I embarrassed you before in the baseball conversation. Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not know.
You're still a smart young man.
Thank you.
All right. You focus. Are you going to go to college? You got any plans for next year?
Either SPC or Tallahassee Community College.
SPC with my buddy here.
Yeah, hopefully.
We need to keep you in town. I'll find something for you to do, too, because we're going to start growing.
Sounds good.
You could work with him. All right. Now let's talk to I'll say Joe. You'll be last. How about that? Yeah, he's been on before. You're going to be coordinating all this high school activity. All right, F. Silva. What's the F for?
Felipe
Silva. Yes, well, thank you for coming down today, young man, and Joe convincing you on a Saturday, a cold Saturday, come down and see the old man. What year are you?
Me, I'm a senior.
You're a senior, and you've been a bogey all 4 years?
3 years.
3 years. All right. What position do you play?
Left wing or left back. Either. I just play up and down, pretty much.
And did you start playing the sport of soccer at a young age?
Yeah, when I was eight.
Eight years old. So what did you think about him coming out his senior year, never playing? Did you guys embrace him, or you think,
I mean, it's never too late to get into soccer, in my opinion. Like, I think that's a great thing.
Talk a little more into the microphone. Has your family been involved in soccer and it's kind of a family tradition?
Yeah, it started with, like, my grandpa.
Wow.
Yeah, my grandpa played in Venezuela. So my dad. So it's, like, just been a thing forever.
Well, it's number one in Venezuela.
everywhere in South America.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, they just won a World Cup down there. Unfortunately, it wasn't Venezuela, but pretty cool for you to have that generation of you guys all having a common bond. It's kind of like it, no different in my football world. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I mean, that doesn't make people happy, but my grandfather was, my son's their great grandfather, and you know, it's all in the family. So I bet they came. They love to watch you play.
Oh yeah, no, it's like just brings everybody together because like you have a shared interest for the sport. Like even my little sister, she hates sports, but she loves watching soccer.
What's your favorite team on in the champions?
Tottenham.
Tottenham, my man. I know very little about the sport of soccer. I'm diving into it. But Tottenham, my son who played college football said, "Pops, you got to start getting into soccer." I'm like, "Whatever." So I fly out to Denver and we're going to watch NFL football. He wakes me up at 9 in the morning. He says, I said, "There's no games on yet." Yeah, there is. His buddies all come over, and he hands me a Tottenham hat, some gear, and I go, "What the hell is this?" I thought the Tottenham logo was a basketball. Yeah. And anyway, so now I'm a Tottenham. Isn't that Harry Kane's on that team? Kane, yeah. See, I can talk a little bit. There's a guy named Mark Lindsay who was one of the original Tampa Bay Rowdies, and he's from England, and he came on the show, and he had a Tottenham jersey on. So I thought it was pretty cool.
No, yeah. There's.
Is your whole family Tottenham?
Oh, no, it's just me.
You're just the rebel?
Yeah, my parents are Barca fans. Barcelona.
Are they? My son just got, during World Cup, he was at Barcelona, even though World Cup was not there, but he said the country of Spain was crazy when he was there. He said it was just off the charts, had a blast.
Yeah.
All right, you got a favorite memory on the soccer field, the 3 years you've been a Bogey.
Honestly, I'd probably say last year when we played Dixie, because you know Dixie's a huge rival.
You guys get to still keep calling them Dixie. I got to call them Hollins. No, I don't have a problem with it. I call them Dixie Hollins. I have their baseball team on quite often. When you're playing Hollins, okay?
Yeah, no, it was a really good game. It was a 3-3 tie at the end, but like everybody was just putting tackles in. We were moving the ball. It was like all or nothing. It was like we were playing.
Explain tackles to the old man. Okay, what's tackles?
Well, you can either have a standing tackle, like you see the guy with the ball, and then you try shoving and take the ball, or you can do a sliding tackle, or you can just slide in. But
and that doesn't garner a yellow flag or card or whatever.
It can, like if you want to hit him in the back.
If you want to hit him in the back, isn't that called a cheap shot? So, and I'm just learning the sport. If you have a tackle, there's a legal way to tackle versus an illegal?
Yeah. So it's like studs up. Like if you have your studs facing the guy or studs down.
Studs down, you're okay, right? Yeah, studs up, they think you're trying to spike them essentially.
Really bad injuries. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So you're a senior. What are your plans for next year?
I'm probably going to go to VMI.
Okay.
And become an officer in the Air Force.
Bravo. God bless you, man. Yeah, that's excellent. High expectations, high goals. You want to do a shout-out to anybody at home?
Shout-out to my mom and dad, Orly and Jose. They've always supported me since day one.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you have a fine young man here. I bet I know this answer since you're going to be traveling. You got a girlfriend?
Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, that happens. That's just life. You have a nice high school experience and move on. All right, young man. Well, thanks for coming down. That microphone works right in front of you, too. All right. Your name?
Jackson Payne.
Jackson, my favorite name. That's my grandson's name. So I won't forget your name, Jackson. So you a senior?
Yeah.
You're a senior. What position did you play?
Starting center back for the team.
Starting center back, and you know what that means to me? Nothing. Joe's gonna have to take a piece of paper and show me where all these positions are. All right, your favorite memory? How many years have you been a Bogey?
I've been a Bogey all 4 years, and I played soccer for 3 years. Yeah.
Okay, good. You're not the 1 year wonder over here. So you've been playing for 3 years. You got a favorite memory?
It's actually got to be this year's senior night game. Although we lost one of our seniors to like a really bad injury. we were able to make a good run in the end, and I mean, we still lost, but it was pretty exciting.
But you know what? Those senior nights are real emotional. Everybody thinks they're not going to be. I mean, I can take it back 100 years, and I can still remember my senior, you know, your senior night. You remember it from college. It's emotional because obviously I can see you guys are all friends, and these friendships, fellas, are going to last a lifetime. They really do. You might be back in Venezuela. You might end up, you know, in Tallahassee. You never know where you guys are going to end up, but you'll always have that bond of the years you had a bogey together and playing and the practices and the funny stuff and the stuff you can't say on the air, because they all exist. And that's the beauty of sport. All right, you got any plans for next year?
I'm gonna attend a 4-year university. I don't know where yet, but
well, you got time.
Yeah,
you got plenty of time. So, go over to St. Pete with these guys, and you guys just have a transition.
I'm trying to get out of Florida.
You're trying to get out of Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
Well, I know a state that's a great state. It might be a little nippy for you. The great state of Iowa. Where I'm from. I don't think that's a destination spot for Floridians, unless you're a football player. We're trying to get you up there. All right. You want to do a shout out anybody at home?
I'm going to shout out my little brother, Gunnar Payne, because he's a way better soccer player than me, but I'm on the air now talking about soccer before him. So.
Well, you know what, Gunnar? Your brother has a cooler name. Because I'm a Jackson fan. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you guys coming down. Now let's turn it over to the young man that's responsible for getting you down here, talking you to come down and see me. Great job there, Joseph.
Thank you, guys.
Where's your pops? I figured he'd be front and center.
He's actually at my little sister's soccer game.
Well, good. How old is she? I've seen her down here.
12.
She's 12? And I'm sure she's a big fan of yours.
I mean, who isn't, right?
Here we go, fellas. See, I gave him a few compliments. It goes straight to his head. All right, let's talk about you. Had never played keeper until this year?
Last year I played keeper. It was my first year. So we had actually a really good goalie. His name was Gray for 2 years. And we had a backup who was also pretty good, who played baseball, who was named Cam. But they both graduated the same year. And the next year, we got no incoming freshman goalie or any transfer goalie. So I just was like, all right, I'll try out and be goalie. And I was all right at it.
Well, I would have thought that would be a very fun position. I mean, well, one thing, you don't get as winded. You don't have to run as much.
But you do sometimes when you're looking on the field. You sometimes miss running around, but sometimes you don't.
Well, you play infield, right?
Yeah.
You play short.
Second short. I'm a.
That's what I thought. Guy. Yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said about that position, infield with a keeper, because you got to have that lateral movement, you know, protecting the goal. So I bet that helped you. I bet that helped you quite a bit as well.
Yeah. You know. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you know, you got to admit, growing up playing soccer and baseball typically don't meld together. So the fact that a couple baseball players played soccer is pretty unique, I would say.
Yeah, it was.
I had no interest in soccer before.
Yeah, unlike him, I played soccer my whole life, so I think it helps more than him.
Well, now had you guys heard of the Champions League that we were talking about?
Yeah.
Had you?
Yeah.
This is the non-soccer guy saying yes. Had you guys heard of it?
No, I didn't know they were doing that at all.
Yeah. Well,
you
didn't
know about the Champions?
You're talking about for high school?
Oh, I didn't know about Champions that.
League.
Yeah. Oh, I
thought for high school.
Yeah, I know about the Champions League outside of high school.
Oh, what's your favorite team?
Arsenal. So this guy is grossing me out over here every time he says Tottenham.
So yeah, Arsenal and Tottenham, that's a big rivalry.
Yeah,
we're
the
better team.
They're about to start fighting.
Do you even have a favorite soccer team? You just got into the sport.
Yeah, I do. Manchester City is my team.
Not Man U, which is owned by the Glazers, you know, that own the Bucks.
Not Man United, but Manchester City. Yeah. Erling Haaland's my favorite player.
Did you guys know that Man U was owned by the owners of... Yeah.
This guy.
And the people in England can't stand the Glazer family. Everybody here loves them, and I don't understand. I didn't study that enough. So you're a Man City.
I'm a Man City fan.
What's your favorite team?
Team USA.
That's a good answer, Joe Geiger. Team USA. Outside of Team USA, you goofball.
I don't really watch
the Rowdies. Probably
I don't really watch any outside USA soccer. I we go to Rowdies games a lot.
Do you?
That's about it.
We'll get you Rowdy tickets. We're going to be doing a promotion this year with the Rowdies. Did you guys all watch the World Cup?
Yeah.
You got to admit, even I'm not a soccer guy, but as you said, you Team USA.
That was fun to watch.
That is fun to watch. This place, because it was so early that they started the games, we usually open at 11 o'clock, and Ferg's was jam-packed, and you'd be amazed at how many people, international people from around the world, live downtown. And they came in, they all have their flags, you know, draped around their back. And it was a lot of fun. And those Rowdy games are a blast as well, aren't they?
They are. I mean, they're in the USL, so they're trying to make a push for an MLS team, but that kind of sizzled away in the past few years.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, is Orlando?
Orlando has the MLS team, Orlando City. But I don't really watch them either.
Oh, well, they're actually this coming weekend they're starting. No, tomorrow, indoor professional soccer.
I heard about that.
Yep, so Martin Gramatica is going to be the head coach, and I think that'd be quite interesting. Indoor. They had indoor. You're from the area. They had indoor soccer here years ago, the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and I think the indoor. Can you imagine playing it off the just like hockey, yeah. Playing it off the wall.
My brother plays indoor soccer, yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Does he dig it?
Yeah, he plays for the Rowdies youth team, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, your entire family must be soccer related, too.
No, just me and my brother, actually. Well, it was my fault that my brother got into it.
Well, it's not his fault. He's looking up to you and playing a sport. And don't any of you take offense to this, but you're not exactly the biggest guys on the planet, and neither am I. That's the beauty. Somebody's calling me to get us off the air. No. That's the beauty of the sport of soccer. You don't have to be big. It helps. I'm sure you've tackled a few. You probably tackled a few people unintentionally.
He led Pinellas County in whip slide tackles.
Yeah. Probably had about
6 years. Are you serious? What'd you call them? Whiff slides?
Whiff slide tackles, where he went in for a tackle, but the only thing he got was grass.
I have a lot of dirty socks out
there. Well, you're used to that in baseball. What position? I forget what position you play in baseball.
Pitcher, catcher, first base, third base.
Coach Miller's got to love you, too. He can put you guys anywhere.
Like I said, who doesn't love us?
How can you not love this face, man?
Well, if you have those whiff slide tackles, you're going to get some cleats and the chops one of these days. You're probably done with your illustrious soccer career, am I correct?
Definitely, yeah.
Well, what if you go to college and they have a club soccer?
Intramural team, I'll definitely go out there, but I doubt I'll play a lot.
Well, if they see your whiff tackles, I don't think you'll play at all, to be quite candid with you. Anyway, well, I appreciate you guys coming down without a coach. You taking the lead on this, young man. You got to stick around. I got to compensate you for your superb job. Have you showed this to the fellas? What your work of accomplishment?
I've shown some of them, not all of them.
That's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Facebook. Joe Geiger here. He does the 2-minute sports update each and every day. And I'll tell you what, we are off the charts right now as far as traffic, and it's only been 2 months. Well, fellas, I appreciate you coming down. We'll talk to you as soon as I get off. For Zach Luttrell, Big O and Alex Reba, and we're going to be launching their show, Big O and the Axeman, in February. The Boca Ciega Soccer fellas, Jim Hart, Joe Boudreau, who stopped in, Big Ed and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, have a championship week.